on. Beloved friends, we welcome you to the broadcast in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus, and we welcome you to the continued study of our verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It is a verse that presents to us the whole theme of the book of the Revelation, revealing the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We quote it again. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. We have noted the certainty of his coming. We have noted the manner of his coming. In our recent message, we considered the publicity of his coming. Now today, we would consider the special revelation of his coming to the nation of Israel. This is indicated by the words, and they also, a particular group of people, which pierced him. There have been many multiplied sins of rebellion and of disobedience committed by God's earthly people, whom he chose as his nation. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were signally blessed. And because of God's unconditional promises given to those three patriarchs, we know from the Scripture, God will yet restore a godly remnant out of Judah and Israel to their land and the glory of a nation again. Now let me repeat, you'll find it substantiated. It's not because of the worthiness of the nation, but because God gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob unconditional promise of national blessing forever. But above all the national sins of disobedience that have been perpetrated by the nation, the greatest of all their sins was that sin of rejecting and crucifying their blessed Messiah. The seriousness of this was declared by Peter not long after the crucifixion, as recorded in Acts chapter 3, when to the people of the nation he said, but ye denied the Holy One and just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Even on that occasion, Peter called the people to repentance and come back to the Lord, assuring he would restore them. But they refused it, as we well know. But at the glorious appearing of Christ from heaven with the armies of heaven coming with him, the persecuted remnant of Israel in that day will repent. They will do so when they see him, their Messiah, whom they have pierced. We must turn to the prophecy of Zechariah, for the prophet Zechariah details the occasion of this in chapter 12 of his great book of prophecy. Then will be the time of Israel's spiritual crisis, and in the 10th verse of Zechariah chapter 12, we read that God will pour out upon that godly remnant that remain the spirit of grace and supplications to bring their hearts to a true spiritual condition before Jehovah. The result of the outpouring of God's spirit upon them, as Zechariah writes, is this: immediately they shall look on me, says the Lord, whom they have pierced. Their once blinded eyes will at last be opened to see him, and the words of Revelation 1:7 will be fulfilled. They are the company which are referred to as they also which pierced him. And then, when he appears, they will see him. Yes, they have resisted him for centuries. Their God and their Messiah, like Saul of Tarsus, who was startled and surprised on the Damascus road when Jesus appeared to him. Then Israel, in that coming day, that godly remnant, though few, will hear his voice saying, I am Jesus. And in that manner the Jewish nation, that godly spared remnant, will behold the divine glory of their Messiah when he comes again. But they will discover he is the one whom they pierced. Their immediate reaction is told by Zechariah in verses 10 through 14. Zechariah says, prophetically they shall mourn. Their deep sorrow will be intense. Their great national confession of mourning and repentance will be the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Read it. Make it the language of repentant Israel, for it will be that. And you'll enter into the meaning of that great chapter, which we often call the crucifixion chapter of the Old Testament. But going on in Zechariah 12, you will find when they mourn, not only the nation will mourn, a national mourning, but a family time of mourning. The royal family will mourn. The priestly families will mourn. Yea, every godly individual Jew in that moment and time will show his and her mourning and repentance when they recognize the one whom they have pierced. And only their Messiah will be able to comfort them, and he alone will do it. Yes, my friend, let me just say this. It will be the day of Israel's great national day of atonement from their national sins. You can go into Zechariah chapter 13, which follows in verse 1, and you find that there is a fountain open for cleansing for their sins. And there is a cleansing from their sin, a fountain that will purify the nation from its guilt. My, does not the verse remind us of the old hymn? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. My beloved, may I state firmly, it is always the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. It makes no difference whether Jew or Gentile. Redemption and forgiveness comes only through the efficacy of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, he died for the sins of his own nation when they crucified him, as well as for the sins of the rest of the world. What a mystery of amazing grace. But what a surprise. What a great surprise is coming to the earthly people of God, who today reject when a Gentile believer speaks to them of Christ the Savior. But when the skies from above reveal the glory of heaven's army coming to the earth, and they're leading the hosts of angels and the hosts of saints, will be their own once rejected, crucified Messiah. Blindness covers their eyes today, but the Spirit of God will open their eyes to recognize him they once pierced. This is one of the greatest effects of the second coming of Christ in power and in great glory. The repentance of the nation of Israel, their great mourning, and thank God, their permanent restoration. Oh, my beloved friend, as we come near to the closing of our message, please let me be speaking very faithfully and ask the question again. Have you ever looked upon that Savior who was nailed to the cross to bear your sins and their penalty? My beloved, look, when Israel will acknowledge it in that coming day, the nucleus of the remnant of the nation. Yet have you? Thank God I have. I've looked at that Savior by faith upon the cross. And in the language of another I can say, he was wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on that cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. My beloved, please, do not wait for the revelation and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior coming down from heaven above. Now is the time that you should find Him and receive Him as your Savior. Be not among the multitude who in that coming day in the world, at the publicity of His appearing, will see Him too late and unable to avoid His judgments and their eternal disaster. My beloved, may I say, may I indeed implore you in the words of the hymn writer, who has indeed forcefully written and properly, take a look at the Savior that was crucified. Don't wait to see Him too late, for He has written these lovely words, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. Look, look, look and live. There is life, eternal life, in a look of faith at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. I testify with gladness of heart and satisfaction of soul that there was a moment in my life I knelt before my once crucified Savior and saw Him by faith and acknowledged by faith, Lord Jesus, You died on the cross to save me from my sins and their penalty, eternal hell. My friend of you, oh, please, don't wait till it's too late. Our beloved, blessed God and Father, how we thank Thee for Thy word. But oh, how we pray that the power, the energy of the Holy Spirit will be in conviction and in conversion and in blessing, doing His work in the souls of our friends, whether saint or whether sinners, to bring all to acknowledge at the very moment we speak, the Lord Jesus died for me. We ask it in His precious name. And for His glory alone. Amen.